Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
So I'm going to tell you what the facts are, and the facts are the facts. But then we know the truth that always overcomes facts.
You don't take the word of the guy that's trying to give the shot about what's good and what isn't.
Thank you, Jesus. We stand victoriously.
The voices of Terry Copeland Pearson's, who along with her husband is a senior pastor at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of her father's worldwide ministry, Kenneth Copeland. You may have read the headlines. Here's one in front of me right now. Measles cases put Texas megachurch under microscope. Apparently, someone showed up at church with a full-blown case of the real live measles, fairly pretty much unknown in the United States for about the last 45 years or so. Well, it spread. Why? Because so many at this Word Faith Church had not been vaccinated. But that raised a question. Why not? Why so many at this church not receiving vaccinations that most people, say what you will about them, most people receive as a matter of routine? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 4th of September. We're going to be talking about that measles outbreak at Kenneth Copeland's daughter's church in North Texas, and also the fact that Pentecostals appear to be downplaying one of the staples of their theology and practice, speaking in tongues. And Bob Lico of Discernment Ministry International will join us and answer those questions about those subjects in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Joel Heck will be with us after that. On this day, the church is remembering one of the biggies from the Old Testament, Moses. Who was he? Was he really unqualified to do what God called him to do? And why is his life such a big part of his story? We'll answer that question in about a half hour here. In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the conclusion of our series on the Epistle to the Romans chapters 1 through 8, Dr. Mike Middendorf will be our guest, answering any questions you have about Romans chapters 1 through 8 as we conclude this series on those chapters. To that end, you can give us a call anytime in the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or in advance of hour two and our conversation concluding our series with Dr. Mike Middendorf on Romans chapters 1 through 8, you can leave a question or a comment, any question you have on the first 8 chapters of Romans at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Bob Lico is a regular guest. He's a former Word Faith pastor himself, a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, and co-founder of Discernment Ministries International. Bob, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Pastor Todd.
Now, the story, I find it interesting, the story is not only about 21 cases of the measles, but about the fact that at this megachurch in North Texas, where Terry Pearson's Copeland is one of the pastors, daughter of Kenneth Copeland, so many of the parishioners had been unvaccinated. They had not received the vaccine for measles. In your experience as a former Word Faith pastor, why would that be?
Well, I can tell you why that would happen. It wasn't our experience. We never preached anything about vaccinations one way or the other, so I remember. But I know why these people would not get vaccinated, and that's very simply because you get a vaccine because you're afraid of catching a disease or getting some type of illness. And as a good Word of Faith person is taught from infancy, you know, fear is the opposite of faith, and God's universe operates on these cosmic spiritual laws, and the laws of faith and the laws of fear are in operation at every level. And so when they say, well, you should get this measles vaccine because you might catch the measles. Well, wait a second. All sickness and disease is of the devil. Well, okay. Maybe a lot of Christians would say, okay, I'll buy that. Others of us might say, well, sort of. But they say, well, it's of the devil, and Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, and by his stripes we're healed, Isaiah 53. So for me to go and get a vaccine against the possibility of an illness coming on me, well, that's the opposite of faith. So I'm not going to give into that fear-mongering and get these shots just in case something may happen to me. Well, bless God, I'm a man of faith and power. Every morning I confess my blessings. No sickness is going to come upon my household. And that's why people would not take advantage of the vaccinations when they're offered.
So in essence, in the framework of word faith theology, since your words create or enable the reality, for you to say, I might catch the measles, is not a word of faith. You should be saying, I will not catch the measles, but by saying I might catch the measles, are you in that theology essentially opening the door, in effect, perhaps even making it more likely that you would catch the measles?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, an if statement, a possibility of something could happen that's bad, that very concept is a negative concept. And so by leaving that as a possibility, you have really opened the door or left the door unlocked, let's say, for the enemy perhaps to sneak in and cause this. And of course, we were also taught something that Job said, of course, the thing that he feared came upon him. So if you're afraid of getting the measles or there's a big push in your community against whatever, and you become afraid of that, well, then, in essence, you're going to draw that to you, that sort of Oprah-esque New Age thought of the law of attraction. That's very much a word of faith concept, that you will indeed, by your words and what you think about and meditate on, and, of course, you will vocalize at some point, positive or negative, will give birth and reality to those things. And so these people said, no, we're not going to get the measles in Jesus' name. Our household is blessed. We are the children of the King. No sickness can come upon us. I mean, we confess these things, my wife and I and others, every morning for years, faithfully. That didn't necessarily make us any healthier, but that was our confession anyway. So that's why they did not get the shots.
And just to kind of continue your story there a little bit, mm-hmm. when you did, during your Word Faith days, inevitably get sick, How did you explain that according to that theological framework?
Well, as a matter of fact, I can promise you this is exactly what all of these people at that church are going through right now. Number one, we're taught, this is a bedrock kind of scripture for every good word of faith, or it's Proverbs 26:2. And out of the King James, it reads, as a bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So if there's a curse, if you've gotten sick, Brother Bob is sick, something, you know, the curse has come on him. Jesus bore the curse, but somehow I'm sick. What has happened? Well, number one, it could be that my faith muscle has not been developed sufficiently to overcome this attack. And we were taught that faith, And using your faith was just like going to the gym. You start off and you pick up a 5-pound dumbbell and you're faithful with that. So that's your confession maybe for some minor miracle in your life. And you get that. Well, then you get to go up to the 10-pound dumbbell and pretty soon you're bench pressing 350 pounds. Well, that's the same way with our faith. It grows as we exercise it by confession and small victories and going on to larger ones. Our faith muscle grows. Well, so I may get a sickness, Todd, that, you know, I've got faith for the flu. So if the flu symptoms come on me, I rebuke them and walk away scot-free. But maybe the doctor says, you've got cancer. Well, I can confess and believe, but maybe my faith muscle just can't lift that burden of cancer. So that could be one reason I'm sick. Another reason could be, maybe I've only got a head knowledge of the fact that it's God's will to heal me every time, and I don't have a spiritual revelation. It hasn't become a rhema, a revealed word of God, if you will, to my heart. So I'm just kind of faking it till I make it, you know, confessing it until I possess it. And you may say, well, how do you know if you get a spiritual knowledge over a head knowledge? Very simple. When I am confessing for something and I receive the desired result, well, obviously, I had a spiritual revelation of it. So it's kind of the acid test. If I'm confessing for my healing and I get it, I had the revelation. If I don't receive it, obviously it was just a head knowledge.
Of course.
Now, it could be also that there's unconfessed sin in my life somewhere. And because of this, as I'm standing against the enemy, the doors of heaven, you know, have become brass to me. My iniquities have separated me between me and my God, and my sin is hidden his face from me, so he's not hearing my confession. So that would cause some introspection, of course. I've got to look and see if there's some sort of hidden sin in my life. After all, I am the righteousness of God now in Christ, so I don't see myself as a sinner, so this one's kind of tough. But, you know, you may have to do that to see if that's a reason why you're sick. And last but not least, which is probably the reason in my case, whenever I was attacked, was because I'm one of God's anointed, and it was the devil attacking me. It wasn't a lack of faith or sin or bad confession. It's because I'm so important to the kingdom of God that Satan has to come against me personally.
Bob Liko is a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministries International. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with him about that measles outbreak at the megachurch in North Texas, the Word Faith megachurch connected to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland, by the way, says you shouldn't be vaccinated. His daughter, the pastor of that church, allows it. So we'll talk a little bit about that and Pentecostals downplaying speaking in tongues.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has announced its fall schedule. Adult boot camps are weekday evenings and Saturday mornings, and sports performance training classes are Monday through Thursday nights. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Rysick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bob Liko is our guest here on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 4th, talking about a measles outbreak at Kenneth Copeland's daughter's church in North Texas. A little bit later, Pentecostals are apparently downplaying speaking in tongues. We'll find out why
In the second hour of the program, Dr. Mike Middendorf will join us. We'll conclude our series on Romans chapters 1 through 8. Any question you have on Romans chapters 1 through 8 at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your opportunity to win the Concordia commentary on Romans chapter 1 through 8 in hour 2 of Issues, etc. facebook.com/issuesetc. Bob, one more question on the measles outbreak. At least according to the news reports, Kenneth Copeland does actively discourage the Christians he teaches to have vaccinations. We heard him there in the open saying, you know, you don't let the man with the hypodermic needle tell you what's good for you. You let God tell you what's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, again, part of that, you know, if you're really going to be confessing, you will not need vaccinations, medicine, cancer treatment. You won't. If you break your leg, you won't need crutches.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, Todd, because the people that Tracy and I followed were Hobart Freeman and Albert Willis. They were the hyper faith people that Copeland and Hagen refused to hang around, because these guys did exactly what you said. They believed if God is in fact the healer, then you need nothing but the Lord. And these guys had no medical insurance. They never took medicine. They never went to the doctor. Well, of course, at Hobart Freeman's church in Indiana, the Glory Barn, which is still in existence, over 90 of his members died from easily treatable illnesses and things, and having children at home and all these things, because that was not in accord with their understanding of divine healing. Now, I can respect them because they followed it to the end. In other words, I have more respect for someone who has a wrong belief, but they're committed to it, than someone who says something from a platform and then is a hypocrite and does things behind the scenes that no one ever knows about, which is true for the Copelands. The Copelands get medical treatment. Believe me, they do. They don't talk about it from the pulpit. They say they don't use any type of medicine or medications. I don't believe that. I've heard other things from other people that are much closer to them that would contradict that. So they're not really completely sold out. And I was surprised to hear Kenneth say that, because that's never been something he's never come out and been a hyper-faith kind of guy. I mean, even his compatriots, Fred Price and other people, would admit that, you know, doctors are okay if your faith is weak and undeveloped. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. It's not God's best, but it's a crutch that you can use, and there's no harm, no foul to that. You just feel like a dog because you have such weak faith, and everyone else around you is so strong and wonderful and healthy and wise and wealthy, and you're, you know, just still taking your aspirin and stuff. It's a little tough on the little guy. But yeah, that's what Copeland teaches, and that would be consistent if he was being genuinely consistent with his doctrine now in his later years. You know, maybe he's coming to this hyper faith conclusion. His daughter, you know, said, no, you can get the vaccinations. But I think she also sort of contradicted that by saying, but of course, if at your house, you know, your faith would lead you to do something different, well, then don't. So, you know, where does that leave the congregation?
The other subject I wanted to hear from you on was, and this is a headline from the Associated Press, Pentecostals edge away from speaking in tongues, a story out of Los Angeles about local Pentecostal churches trying to mainstream themselves, and so they are either cutting down on the speaking in tongues in the course of their regular services or eliminating it altogether. What do you think's going on here?
Well, that was a very interesting article, and I think there are a couple things at play. I mean, historically, of course, it depends what the writer of the article was really talking about. In a Pentecostal service, there are two ways that the gift of tongues is manifested. You have someone who will stand up and give a message in other tongues, and then another person, will stand up with the interpretation, or that person who gave the message in tongues may also interpret. They may claim to have both gifts. That's the public use of the sign gift. Now, Pentecostals also began to have this sort of united praying in other tongues together, which it wasn't part of their historical original upbringing. That came about more in the late 40s during the healing revival and then the charismatic sort of independent movement that started in the late 50s and 60s and 70s with Catherine Coleman and people like that. Speaking in tongues in groups and singing in other tongues became very commonplace. But, you know, it's important to differentiate those two things. You've got a sign ministry gift, and then you've got everybody using their private prayer language in a group, but privately to God, since there's no interpretation. You're just speaking mysteries to God. So that was pretty common. But there was a change, and I'll be honest with you, from what I can understand and see happening, I believe the change came with our good friend Joel Osteen. Now, Joel, of course, comes from a very a heavy charismatic pedigree with his father, John Osteen, who was one of the early charismatic superstars, and a pastor and a revivalist and a lot of things. So he grew up in a staunch word of faith, confessing, praying in tongues, name it and claim it upbringing. That's Joel's background. And that has been the experience of Lakewood Church until Joel became the senior pastor with the passing of his father some years ago. All of a sudden, even though Lakewood is still a charismatic, sign gift, enthusiast-type church, Joel doesn't go there as far as from the pulpit. You never hear any people in the audience giving a message in tongues, singing in other tongues, even praying in other tongues. You never hear Joel or Victoria utter a single syllable in other tongues, and yet he has the largest church in America. Believe me, a lot of pastors stood up and took note of that, and they're looking at Joel trying to figure out, well, he must be the model here of how to do successful church because he's got all of these people. And so I think that Joel had a lot to do with some of the larger Assembly of God congregations, some of the larger maybe Pentecostals, World Assembly churches, some of the major Pentecostal denominations now, I think, have backed away from this sort of you know, enthusiastic expression of ecstatic speech, mainly because I think it makes them look non-intellectual or sort of hokey or something. And also there's too much good research going on that if someone's going to stand up and give some sort of message in other tongues, then it will be analyzed and researched and, as it's been proved for the last 50 years by linguists, will be proven to be a false, non-genuine language. But I think that's a lot of the reason. I think Joel's success, he doesn't have to go that direction. And between you and me, if he ever loses people and they start leaving his church for whatever reason, he's always got that ace in the hole. He can always pull out that revivalist card that he knows very well from working with his father, and he can always hold a Holy Ghost fire meeting and probably draw in 10 or 20,000 just for something like that if times ever get tough. But for the other people, I think they're looking at Joel and they're looking at the society at large and saying, it's not a selling point anymore. We still believe in it. We believe in it for our private prayer language, but we're just not going to do it in the midst of the congregation and, you know, with all these seekers and the TV cameras on. It just doesn't sell well anymore. Well, and I think that's what's happening.
Well, then with only 1 minute here, Bob, that's got to be a big change from your perspective. I mean, you entered that movement and then left it when this was pretty much insisted on. It was required of true spirit-filled Christians to have some kind of public speaking in tongues, and now it appears that even the ardent tongue speakers are saying, well, maybe we need to kind of get our finger in the wind and say no more of this for a while. 1 minute for your thoughts on that perspective.
Okay, well, what happened initially back in the early days of Pentecostalism, they would come and tarry at the altar, prayer, altar workers would be there, and eventually people would speak in tongues. They may have tarried for weeks, months, or years before they spoke in other tongues. Not like the instant presto changeo charismatic stuff today. They spoke in tongues once, that was it. They were happy, they never did it again. Then it became something, oh no, we've got to do this all the time, it's a private prayer language, and we've got to do this as a group, as Paul talked about singing in the Spirit, and all of this, and that's what became of it in the through the charismatic movement of the late 50s and 60s and 70s, but now through the 80s and 90s with this new crop of believers and young people, apparently we're not seeing this as much in the mainline. However, speaking in tongues as a group and all of this stuff is still very prevalent within the prophetic churches and the new order of apostles and prophets. They still are holding that line. They have not wavered from that, you know, shaking the pillars of heaven in other tongues as frequently and loudly as they can. But the mainline denominations and people like Joel, who's his own phenomenon, they have pulled back. And I think Joel has kind of been one of the reasons. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding so far.
Bob Liko is a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministries International. You can find out more about Discernment Ministries International under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bob, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time remembering, along with the rest of the church on this Wednesday, September the 4th, Moses from the Old Testament. He actually has a remarkable story. He comes along late. He's not a patriarch. He comes along at just the right time. He receives his name not only by the manner of his finding, but also as a prophecy of what God would use him to do. He doesn't want to do it. He does not want to follow God's call. And in the end, we are told that no greater prophet has arisen than Moses. We'll sort all that out with Dr. Joel Heck right after this.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.